Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
You're listening to Power Athlete Radio, a podcast dedicated to empowering your performance every damn day. Join former NFL pro and Power Athlete founder John Welborn as he dissects the greatest minds in strength, conditioning, and more. So whether your goal is to be the hammer, destroy mediocrity, or simply move the dirt, you've come to the right place. Now with the warm-up done, let the gains begin.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Power Athlete Radio. We're hopefully trying to finish up 2024 strong. So I brought on Mr. Arash Safani to come on and ask me one of the questions that I've been getting hit with constantly that I feel that's permeating not only through the podcasting world, but also through every doctor that's decided to now jump on the creatine bandwagon. No. And it is a bandwagon because I've been on this fucking wagon for over 30 years. And it's exciting now to see everybody catching up with what we already knew because we've been so far ahead of the curve.
It's nice to be on the side of the curve. So, John, my question to you, is lifting weights, building muscle, the key to longevity?
100% it is. There is 10 factors that I put together in preparation for this question, that lifting weights and building muscle are key to longevity because they address several critical aspects that indirectly and directly affect not only your health and well-being and how we live. One of the ideas or one of the first points is what I call metabolic currency. So muscle is highly insulin sensitive, fat's extremely oxidative, and it burns calories even at rest. So the metabolic flexibility piece that I did a long, long deep dive into, and actually one of the talks I'll give when we go work with the guys at DevGuru, is the idea that the more muscle you carry in relation to body fat, the healthier you are as an individual. Mm-hmm. Now, how you get there is not all that important. So when I looked at all of the information and all the studies over 10 plus years, there was nothing about like, okay, you have to eat a carnivore diet, you have to eat this diet, or you have to do this training, whatever. Whatever diet and training or rest or whatever it looks like for you to carry the most amount of muscle in relation to body fat will make the healthiest individual. Now, the caveat with that is when we start looking at performance enhancing drugs and more important, looking at bodybuilding. Because if you look at bodybuilders, some of the most unhealthy individuals on the planet, they carry a massive amount of muscle in relation to body fat. But the reason being is they are doing some unnatural methods to get there. So the toxic load of, you know, tren and all the different drugs that they're taking at the volumes in which they are, you know, effectively putting stress on their lower organs and liver and some of their autonomic systems that are far reaching. But for a healthy individual or even a, you know, somebody that's using a moderate dose of, you know, hormone replacement TRT, there are factors that show that the more muscle I can carry in relation to body fat, the healthier I am. Now, here's an interesting piece too you run into is a lot of people are like, well, I'm big and strong, I must be healthy. Well, no, if you carry a lot of excess body fat, I don't care how much muscle you carry, it's just never going to be healthy. And especially for a lot of men, especially guys over the age of in their 30s, start carrying more of this like kind of spare tire back fat. And you know this from doing jujitsu, guys in 40 tend to get a lot of back fat and you can kind of feel it. And it's not like subcutaneous kind of squishy fat. You feel this kind of like fat mass, almost like a slab of like, you know, Wagyu or
a firm brisket.
And that feeling where they're like, oh, I'm still pretty good. I'm, you know, maybe got a little ab, I got some arm, but that like brisket on the back and especially on the love handles, those are definite risk factors. And everything down to lack of insulin sensitivity, type 2 diabetes and health things. I mean, there is pretty interesting if you aggregate over the last, 10 plus years of all of the research, that people that carry less body fat tend to have healthier outcomes for longer amount of time. We interrupt this episode with a shameless self-promotion. Commit more, get more. Commit to 365 days of battle-tested, no bullshit programming, and we'll throw in lifetime access to our nutrition protocols plus a one-on-one consultation absolutely free so we can craft you a game plan for 2025. I spent a decade smashing heads in the NFL and even longer building monsters in the weight room, so I know exactly what it takes to turn your strength conditioning goals into reality. So whether you want to learn to lift or crush the competition, Power Athlete has you covered. Commit to the cause at powerathletehq.com. Pick the program, then select Athlete Yearly at checkout to claim this limited time offer. Don't sit on the sidelines. Sign up today. Now back to the show.
What about that sneaky one, the visceral body fat that tends to creep up on guys that are super muscular but get away with extra beers on the weekend? And I've trained with a lot of those guys. You go in to grab their belly and it's a rock hard belly that's obviously protruding, and you might even see abs, but then you grab it and their belly doesn't even move.
Yeah, we call that the turtle shell.
The turtle shell.
Yeah, the Donatello, the turtle shell. So visceral fat is different than subcutaneous fat. Subcutaneous fat is the fat that's kind of the squishy stuff that sits on, between like the skin. The visceral fat is the stuff that packs around the organs. And that is by far the more dangerous stuff in the people that are at greater risk factors of having, stroke and heart attacks and cancer. I mean, that visceral fat. That's an interesting observation. And that comes from hyperinsulinemia and other factors, especially not making sure you're doing all your zone 2 work. But the interesting part is due to age, they start to get those like distended guts and it gets that hard old man fat. That's dangerous. But if you want to find it and you want to see exactly how much you are, go get a DEXA scan.
Yeah.
I love people getting DEXA scans because I can tell you not only how much subcutaneous fat you have, but I can also see the visceral fat that's packing around the organs. I think, especially a lot of the steroid guys, the guys that, the bodybuilders, the guys that take a lot of exogenous drugs, that's one of the hallmarks. And they end up having, in large hearts and some of the other issues. But that's definitely a big factor. Number 2 is the prevention of sarcopenia. So sarcopenia is age-related muscle loss. As you age, people tend to lose muscle. Now, when you look at the literature, a lot of this literature is done on untrained individuals, or what I call, normies, or, civilians, let's call them, but not people that are actively training. I mean, none of this research is done on people that, extremely muscular and that have carried a lot of muscle over a long period of time. So I think for people like me, they say after the age of 40, you start, entering this decline. So every day becomes an opportunity to fight off father time and to continue to develop muscle. So making sure that not only are you sleeping, one of the things that happens is as we age is we lose the ability to sleep, but now we're in shitty weather. So, vitamin D, making sure that you're not magnesium deficient. Mm-hmm. So the sleep is important, and then making sure that you're getting your hormones checked. If you're over the age of 40 and you haven't gotten blood work and you're not familiar with what your hormones are doing, that's a huge fucking problem. I'm on a text thread with Zach Evanesh, and Zach's like, I've gotten my blood work. It says that, my hormone levels aren't necessarily in what they call a need for a therapeutic intervention. And but yet he's complaining about all of these other factors that he has. And I'm throwing it out there because I know he's going to listen to the podcast. So a lot of times, feeling like you're at a point where maybe you need some help. Definitely. I think if you feel like you need it, then then I don't have any issues with that. I think andropause is a real thing, even though it's argued whether or not in the literature of andropause. But as women go through menopause, I think andropause is a real deal. Yeah. And before, they used to just tell guys to go buy a Corvette and go date young Hooters waitresses. But could it be the fact that as men start to age and they get kind of old and curmudgeonly and cranky? I wrote an article about this years ago on Talk to Me Johnny, where all of the observations were that the men that were aggressive or the men that had better sense of well-being had higher testosterone levels. It was the dudes that were like angry and picky and just fucking awful to deal with all had low testosterone levels. So my deal is like, fuck, if you have low testosterone levels, don't live your life like that. This episode of Power Athlete Radio is powered by Train Heroic, the most immersive strength training app experience on the market. We've built an online training business by partnering with Train Heroic to deliver all of our world-class training programs like Jack Street, Hammer, Field Strong, and Grindstone. To learn which Power Athlete training program best suits your goals, head to powerathletehq.com/training. And if you're a coach looking to build a business with the best training tech in the business, head to trainheroic.com/powerathletehq. And now back to the show.
Truly. And I think Andropause, as you mentioned, is kind of it feeds into a loop of the low energy. That's usually what people mostly complain of. Like, I just don't feel like my former self.
Yeah.
But when people tend to overlook the overuse of caffeine, because as you age, you obviously take on more responsibility. So you address that by like increasing your caffeine intake. And
I just need another coffee.
Yeah. And what they fail to forget is that contractile tissue, especially muscle, is obviously affected by caffeine. So you feel better when you're on caffeine because calcium is being released into the bloodstream when you drink caffeine. And the calcium channels are the actual thing that cause the muscular contraction and help you feel stronger, or you get a stronger contraction of the muscle and you feel more reactive. But then the opposite end of that is actually the magnesium. The magnesium channels are the ones that relax the muscle tissue. So whenever we're doing complex movements, a lot of the dudes that are cramping up are just low in magnesium. And so their muscle never gets that relaxation. So they actually never have like a healthy muscle to begin with. So then they're like, oh, I'm chronically fatigued. Well, no duh. You know, you're always using caffeine to give you that energy, but you're never getting that relaxation. So your muscles never feel recovered. You're always hypertense in the sense of using this caffeine. So I think magnesium is actually a really big one in helping you maintain healthy muscle tissue and also just a general well-being.
So I'm going to give a tip of the hat to Mr. Kelly Starrett. Kelly, you know, is a doctor of physical therapy, supple leopard, and legendary individual. But when he was in clinical practice, he talked about something that he called PPT, piss poor tissue. And as he would go work on people, he would start to feel their tissue and he could tell you about their hydration, their salt, their diet, and knew that like people that like, didn't drink enough water, ate a shitty diet, didn't have enough salt, didn't take the right supplements. They just had like tissue that was like very like ropey, and he just called it piss poor tissue. And he said one of the fundamental things that you can tell in terms of like, you know, just health of an individual is just feeling the tissue. And he goes, like, it told me everything I needed to know about them. And like, you know, the smell of their breath and just like all of these things that you kind of pick up as you're doing body work on people and like how the tissue separates. And one of the things I've noticed in JITS, because this is a pretty interesting thing. I mean, so much we live in this ivory tower of professional athletes, and I do too, to some extent.
Yeah.
But then when you go to JITS and you know, roll with just average people that have, you know, haven't been training their whole lives and they get into this thing later and you kind of like go to feel the tissue quality or you go feel this person, you're like, man, like this person feels unhealthy.
A literal hands-on approach because you're grabbing the people.
Well, and the other one too is that the tissue is not pliable. So there's positions that we look at as like lack of flexibility, and it's because they don't have range of motion. Like one of my favorites is a dude over 40, stack pass every time submission. And the reason being is they don't have the hip mobility and they just don't have like the strength in the adductors. The body will not allow you to go into a range of motion that it cannot create stability. So a lot of times when you feel the muscles guarding, it's not because the person's inflexible. They just can't create stability in those positions because they've never gotten there.
Well, that goes back to your whole point of sarcopenia. Is the reason why we want to maintain muscle mass is because you got to be able to move in your older years.
Yeah.
So in terms of longevity, if you don't have the muscles to be able to do daily tasks, obviously you're not going to be around very long.
Look at Cameron Shane. What's he like, 75 years old? I mean, Cameron looks great. He's got to be in his 70s.
Well, he also keeps a lot of really pretty ladies around him.
I'm sure it keeps him well.
That's part of longevity, but to his credit, he does a lot to maintain that muscle mass, as well as a healthy diet. Gets a lot of sun on his body up there in Montana, moving around in nature, but then also stays really active either with weight training, mobility training, Budokan mobility system.
If you can lift weights, right? Like somewhere between 3 and 5 times a week, you know, like we've been doing this kind of every other day, full body, you know, kind of mixing it up just for the training volume. But if you can train for 3 to 5 days, you can do something heavy that looks like every 7 days, you're kind of pushing something heavy. Mm-hmm. You can do something that looks like conditioning, you know, task specific tension, so, you know, very similar to what we do within Power Athletes Grindstone and the other training programs mm-hmm. in Dragon Slayer. If you can do that with regularity and do something that fosters and develops athleticism, like the athletic problem solving, like we're talking about, whether it be, you know, jujitsu or tennis or just anything that involves hand and eye coordination in your body, ability to move through space to accomplish a known or novel task, that is by far the best recipe I can come up with for longevity. Mm-hmm. Piss poor tissue, I really think through all of these years, I can tell you based upon how people eat, you know, zone 2, big aerobic base, mitochondrial density. If you buy into, you know, the Warburg effect, you know, in 1940, you know, the Warburg effect, the guy wins a Nobel Prize for it. The idea that mitochondrial dysfunction is the driver for cancer, whether or not it's 100% right, accurate or whatever. I do believe that mitochondria, which are the powerhouses of cells that convert to ATP, happens in the gut in an oxidative pathway. So lack of gut health, are all drivers for this. But
piggybacking on the TRT thing is some people are not even working hard enough and doing resistance training to trigger protein synthesis.
Yeah.
So then
that's an interesting one.
So too. Then you have testosterone into play, which increases nitrogen concentration in the blood so that you can actually build muscle. Well, are you training at all to trigger the protein synthesis? I mean, that's a huge question.
That's one of our power athlete coaches went to Allie Gilbert's Silverback Summit. And he kind of filled me in on a little bit of it. I did not attend, so I'm just giving you secondhand. But they had a lot of doctors. I think, you know, we've had some power athlete alums that actually spoke or some power athlete radio alums that spoke. But one of the things they were, you know, very forthright about, you know, hormone replacement and getting blood work done. But I've heard her talk, I think it was on Dave Tate's podcast, that a lot of guys that are taking TRT don't train and don't train with like the regularity or the intensity to necessarily drive any benefit from what they're doing. They're taking a shot and they feel better in the intermediate, mm-hmm. but then over a time, it just, the body gets back to homeostasis and they're not doing anything. So they see some guy who all of a sudden looks pretty good. Oh, he's on TRT. He must be on a super physiological dose rather than just being consistent. Like I know for me personally, if I do 5 out of 7 days of aerobic work and I lift weights 3 to 4 days, I weigh and measure my food, not to the point of like obsession, but like just basically making sure I'm getting enough protein and I'm kind of being smart in how I'm doing this. I take my supplements and I sleep as required. That is by far the best recipe for me to be able to, you know, be my biggest and my leanest. And I've done that many times, mm-hmm. but then all of a sudden you kind of think like, oh, you know what? And then you slide back a little bit. And I wish I had the ability to like, and maybe this is something everybody needs to look in the mirror and be like, shit, I'm not as good. And what I'll do is I periodically take pictures and then I'll get like, here was you last year. And I'll be like, shit, I looked better. I need to turn this thing back up.
Yeah.
I think for somebody who was performance driven my whole life, just training for aesthetics is kind of useless. Like I just don't it's not what wakes me up. I know there's guys that want to wake up and they want to look fucking great on vacation and they're obsessed with how they look. For me, I want to be healthy enough so that whatever I ask my body to do, now whether it be go outside and chop wood and pick up wood or, you know, excavate the creek or any of the shit we do in the shop or Friday afternoons when you guys show up and, you know, we do the Dragon Slayer with a lot of the density work, mm-hmm. The ability to be able to go hard or if we do any like kind of team conditioning or then go to jits, like, you know, going and rolling with Victor and you on last Friday, like to be able to be somewhat competitive and in shape and to be not just a pushover that just gets fucking raped. Yeah. But like the ability to fight back a little bit
and to be the true Grandpa Rod.
Oh,
that you can be.
God damn, you call me Grandpa Rod.
No, because you got a body lock that can squeeze every ounce of toothpaste out of the empty bottle.
So where this came from was I'm rolling with Victor and I got him in a good body lock and I used the body lock pass that Nicky Rod has his little deal. I saw him use and fucking Victor called me Grandpa Rod.
Hey, it's a title stays.
It's not a bad one. No. I'm not unhappy. I mean, I do like his jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, and he's jacked and tan. Yeah.
And he's kind of a mimbo.
Yeah. Which it's not bad.
Yeah, no, which I wish I was less esoteric. I wish I was less thoughtful. I wish I could just be like, fuck it. I'm just going to do podcasts with my shirt off and just hang the fuck out.
You see that, B team? You got to produce another 48-year-old badass so we can get a super fight going.
I don't think they let guys my age come to the B team.
Oh, they should.
I mean,
they should. If they want a second location, they got to advertise to Starting Strength. Gosh, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name, but
Mark Ripto.
Mark Ripto. God damn. I was going to say Mark, but Coach Ripto, he goes, I advertise to men over 50 who are on Cialis. Like, if you want to open a successful location, you gotta market to the right people.
You know, the
who are on Viagra.
Well, you don't want to take too much Viagra when you're doing jiu-jitsu. Next time you get a fucking, you know, be like, he couldn't pass my guards because you had a hard on.
He was so stiff.
Yeah, he was so rigid. But you've seen this too, especially maybe you with guys that are maybe new, maybe in their first like year of jiu-jitsu. Excuse me. They come in and you start rolling and you go to do some rounds. And at the end of 3 minutes, like their face is beat red and they've been holding their breath and they're having like, fuck, dude, I don't want to have to go out and get the fucking IED out on your ass. Mm-hmm. I've seen that too, especially when you roll with guys where all of a sudden now you can tell that they can't relax. Yeah. And they're holding their breath and they're also not fit enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the explanations, you just need more jiu-jitsu. And so I tell guys all the time, I think if you came to class 3 days a week, you had a little bit of aerobic capacity and lifted a little weights, you'd be a lot farther along. And then if you did jiu-jitsu 5 or 6 days a week.
Right, because you're building resilience to stress and combating some of the inflammation from the week. Obviously, we know that resistance training is a hard thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do. There are some steps. Obviously, the Power Athlete program will help you get there. But dealing with stress systemically through the programming will ensure that when you go to a jiu-jitsu class, that the thing that stops you isn't your breath or your cardio or the endurance of your muscles, but you're actually able to deal with it and focus on just learning the techniques.
Sure.
Which I think is something that we discussed with Victor. He was so efficient at jiu-jitsu. The only missing piece was that he needed to get stronger and be more resilient to stress. And you introduced that with the programming. Yeah. Resilience to stress. I mean, Philippe is a great example of that too. Was he became resilient to the stress of the conditioning and lifting weights, and he ultimately became a stronger version of himself, and he could just focus on his craft.
Yeah. Well, he also hit at the right time.
Yeah.
So number three, stronger muscles equals stronger bones. Weightlifting increases mineral bone density by placing a mechanical stress on bones. You know, Wolf's Law, the bones and the adaptation are critical for preventing osteoporosis and reducing the risk of fractures as we age. Mm-hmm. Strong bones combined with strong muscles are a recipe for maintaining not only health, but independence and allowing you to do what you want to do. Most people, and this is a kind of a sad realization I ran into recently with my mom. My mom's 85. She has a puppy. She went in to bring in dog food and the leash got wrapped around her foot and she got tripped and she fell and banged her knee against the stairs. And so her knee swelled up. She went to the doctor. They x-rayed her, looked at her knee, and they were, one, amazed that she had no osteoarthritis, but she did need a joint replacement. And the doctor told her, this is the first 85-year-old person that I've looked at in the last 15 years that didn't need some form of joint replacement. Now, is that genetic? Is that diet? Are there other factors associated with it? But for her, if she had issues, fallen and broken her knee or broken a hip or hurt or something, and now all of a sudden she's in some form of like managed care, that's how most people, old people, meet their demise. They fall, they break a hip, all of a sudden they go into some form of managed care, they're immobile, and then they just fade away and that's it. So if you want to maintain your independence and durability and, you know, when stupid things happen when you're older, mm-hmm. you have to do the work on the front side. Number four, improved hormone health. That hormonal health. So strength training boosts key levels of all hormones, testosterone, growth hormone, especially these decline as we age. So maintaining a healthy hormone balance for energy and mood and well-being is so fundamental, but I also feel that that goes far beyond just muscle, right? So strength training and being able to carry a high amount of muscle in relation to body fat. Like we said, muscle is extremely insulin sensitive, fat's extremely oxidative, too much fat for too long. Like you can be fat when you're young, even fat into your 20s, but you hit 30 and now all of a sudden the same fat that you carried now all of a sudden will start manifesting in ways that you don't want it to manifest.
Well, it's also aromatizing, right? So as we know, like if we can avoid aromatization of our testosterone, then it can be free to do its job. But if it's bound up because we're carrying around too much body mass, no good, no bueno for the hormonal health. So
at Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's also a teal too, where if you're if it's aromatizing and estrogen's too high, you all of a sudden now get sex hormone binding globulin, you know, becomes an issue that goes up, and now all of a sudden that attaches to free testosterone, and so there's a whole host of other problems, but most of them go back to obesity. This country, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that are overweight. People carry too much body fat. Yeah. And there's this idea, well, like I'm lifting weights, I'm training, I'm pretty strong, I'm pretty jacked, but it's okay because I'm carrying excess body fat. I think that somewhere south of that 20, ideally somewhere between, you know, 10 and 15% is probably where most people should live. Mm-hmm. And I know you're on the fight to get down under 15 and we'll see how that one. I'm excited for that.
My recent DEXA and I'm sitting at 19 and I was kind of beating myself. I'm like, man, I feel leaner than that. And you're like, no, you're not bad. But at the same time, like,
well, think about where you came from.
Yeah. Where's the next goal?
I wish we had a DEXA in the beginning because I guarantee you were over 30.
I do.
Oh, were you over 30?
Yeah, I was 32.
Okay. So that puts you firmly in the crosshairs of that sickness and illness. Yep. All of a sudden now you're in 19, you're under 20, like that all of a sudden, like the margin of error got much bigger. Mm-hmm. We can keep clicking that down, which we could probably do a little bet here for Q1, which would be fun.
Yeah.
Like a little 12 week challenge to see if we could do it, which would be a blast.
John says that he's undefeated at those, but
I'm not undefeated. Know. I think I have been defeated in one body challenge just for the mere fact that I think we moved and I gave up and I think I had to grant it to somebody else.
As long as Kate isn't in the competition, because she would bury both of us.
Kate will join the Harry Shaw fitness challenges and actually murder everybody. Yeah. And it's just not fair.
God rest them.
Number five, increase function and independence. So the ability to lift, carry, and move under load is critical for everyday life, whether it be, you know, picking up dog food or doing this, but allowing you the freedom and the mobility to live your best life. Mm-hmm. That comes from being stronger. To quote Mark Ripto, stronger people are generally more useful and more fun. You know, if you're not durable and you can't necessarily go out and do stuff where like, hey, can you help me move this massive cooler that's full of a dead deer carcass? Like things like that come up. I mean, you might have to drag a dead deer, you know, a couple hundred yards because you don't have a way to get it out of the brush.
Or you might have broken up with your girlfriend of 3 years and need to move all of your shit out of her place in 2 days. And I've done that a couple of times.
I was laughing the other day. My brother reminded me of one of our adopted brother, Steve-O, was living with this girl and he needed a fast extraction. So we got the 911 call. We hooked up the trailer and we were like at her place and unloaded everything within like 15 minutes. She like left to get coffee and he was fucking gone. Out. We like went in and just fucking threw everything on the trailer and boned out. He's like, go. You got to be, if your buddy needs an extra extradited fast, you know, you got the right one.
Yeah.
Number six is battling chronic disease. So strength training has been shown to reduce risk factors for cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, and many cancers. So it improves blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and overall cardiovascular fitness. And obviously, like we said, putting more muscle. So it also preserves cognitive health. So recent studies show that strong connection between muscle mass strength and cognitive function. Mm-hmm. So lifting weights is not only good for fighting off, you know, dementia, starving off Alzheimer's and other age-related kind of degeneration. Also creatine is good for that, which I've been preaching for a number of years. So make sure you're taking that. But if you're at risk for cognitive decline and dementia and some of these other things, I hate to harp on jujitsu for this, but that thing we've talked about on many, many podcasts, the idea of athletic problem solving, fighting off neurological decline by creating greater neuroplasticity mm-hmm. is so undervalued. That neuroplasticity, your ability to go in and be a white belt and learn, take on new information and use your body and your mind in a way in which you are unaccustomed, and the ability to humble yourself to be instructed again is fucking massive. I mean, I think the reason that a lot of people, I didn't like it, because they have a hard time humbling themselves. They don't have the neuroplasticity. They have this crystallization of factors where now they just can't fucking be a white belt.
Yeah. How about just the body awareness? Like, you just hit a hard workout and then, you know, you've seen it with some clients that haven't worked out since they were in PE in middle school. And you had them do like maybe just some lat pull downs and they're like, my ribs hurt. I'm like, yeah, you know, actually there's a muscle back there called the latissimus dorsi. So the reason why your ribs hurt is actually because you use that muscle. So yeah. All of a sudden they're getting awareness of their body and understanding why it is they're not able to accomplish a day-to-day task. It's just being aware of where their body is in space.
Well, the
movement education.
So my dog, I have two dogs. I got Vinny and Lou, and Lou's old.
Yeah.
Lou's had lymphoma for like 4 years, and like he's living his best life.
Yeah.
We know that like the future is like the end is closer than the beginning, right? So we just kind of like, he hangs out. He likes to nap a lot, but he's always excited to get up and eat. So
and steal food from people's plates.
Yeah. Yeah. He's but he's old. He's missing a bunch of teeth. So like even if he had to fight his way to death, he just gum them. So probably about 2 weeks ago, we had, I think the guy came in to like service the air conditioning or the heater or whatever.
Yeah.
So that he left the door open, and all of a sudden I come home and like Vinny and Lou are gone, or I forgot how it all worked. But I'm like looking for them, and like normally they'll run up to the building and fuck with DJ, or they go eat horse poop or something. I don't see him. I walk all over. And so I was like, well, I shut the door. I opened the gate, and I was like, I'm just going to hang out and wait till it starts to get dark. They'll come home when they know it's dinner time. So it starts to get a little dark, and I go outside. I'm waiting, and all of a sudden I see them. I see Vinny come sprinting through the pasture. They'd been down at the creek doing whatever. And I see him sprinting up, and he's all covered in mud. So I got to like wash him, and I don't see Lou. And like for a moment, I had that Goodwill Hunting moment. Remember where he's like, yeah. I dream of every day showing up at your door and you're gone. No, 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 nothing, that you're going to live a better life. And I had this moment of like, what happened if Lou encountered like a coyote or something and had to like go out with his boots on, and he fought his way and ended up like, this is his demise, and he gets killed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, that'd be great if he went out like, you know, like he went out like he should, like a, you know, like a pit bull
fighting an 8-point buck.
Yeah. Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
Like what if he comes up to a pack of coyotes and he goes at the coyotes to like give Lou or Vinny the freedom to get out. And so he dies on the sword. And I like had these like, you know, crystallizing or these moments. And I'm like, God, like imagining this. And then all of a sudden I see him just come waddling up and I'm like, bah. And so I went in, got him fed, and I was telling Kate the story, and she like looked at me and she's like, that dog wants to die. Like he wants to go out warm in his bed with a full belly and a bone
on the couch,
just looking
hogging
at us.
Up all your space.
Yeah. That's what he wants. Whereas, I love those memes where like they'll show, Red Dawn, you know, where like the two brothers, like, you know, when they basically die on that park bench at like the final scene. He's like, Dad's coming for us, and they die in that final scene. So periodically, like people will like go to that exact location and take the picture without him, and they'll be like, this is all I dream of, this ending in my life. Yeah. And it's like women are like, oh, you know, we had all of our friends and family, and then they'll be like the dude being like, this is what I want for my existence. Or the other one where the dude's in like on a hilltop and he's like, everybody's getting to safety, I'm gonna hold them all down. I'm like, that was my Lou moment. I was hoping Louie went out with his boots on, but that dog, I mean, they told us 4 years ago that he had 3 months to live, and we were like, we'll just, you know, make his life the best that we can, and that dog is still kicking. So I don't know what the fuck those doctors are talking
about. Build muscle so you can pick up your dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good one too.
Especially with all these Labradoodles hanging around downtown Austin. They're not small dogs.
No. So the Labradoodle, and then what's the other one? They have like a Bernese Doodle. Like I've seen all of these crazy dog mixes. And yeah. So Kate's like, those dogs are really cute. I'm like, aren't those dogs like $10,000?
Yeah. They all have white privilege, by the way.
Yeah.
Because if you see a Labradoodle puppy acting bad, you're just like, aw. But then you see a Pitbull puppy like nipping at you, like, get that thing away from me.
So Kate will, my wife follows all these dog rescues.
Yeah.
And there was a dog rescue where they had a Pitbull Dachshund mix. And somebody had like taken four puppies, put them in a box and put them behind a dumpster, which I think there's a fucking cold place in hell for people that abuse dogs and do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so they were these little Dachshund pit bulls. And the pictures were the cutest things I've ever seen, to the point where she's like, can we get one for Christmas? And I'm like, we cannot enter into a dog conversation as long as Lou is still kicking.
Yeah.
Like, I think if all of a sudden we show up with a puppy, he'll feel like I'm being replaced. They've moved on. And I'm like, I he's been my boy for, he's older than the girls, 14 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been blessed to have some amazing pit bulls. I've had, I had Bear, I had Rocky, and now I've had Vinny and Lou. And even though my family doesn't like Vinny because he's annoying, he's my dog.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, he's honestly the most lovable animal on the planet.
I'm a pit bull lifer as well. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because there's pit bull people and then there's not pit bull people.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, what do you mean you don't like pit bulls? I love pit bulls. They're the best.
Yeah.
I know you have a pit bull too.
Yeah.
The other one is increased lifespan and health span. Longevity isn't just about living longer. It's about living your best life. Like, I went to Adil Khan's event this year, which was on longevity. And he got up and he said, you know, based on our genetic code and everything we know, people can live to be about 125 years old. The problem is nobody wants to be 125. Nobody wants to be 80 or 90, mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden you're trapped and, you know, in your mind, you're not the person you used to be. Now, if you could make it to 125, like you are when you're 30, 40, or 50 even, like that seems like a pretty good deal. So what they're trying to do is figure out how to like freeze the genetic, you know, deal at like, you know, or to allow your genes to, you know, stop, you know, evolving and decaying over time, but just being able to like kind of pinpoint longevity at this point and then allow you to live to 125 at that point. To me, that sounds like a better deal.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to live to be that old if I'm that old.
My dad had already professed to me that is like, if I'm 85 and I'm bedridden, please ice me. He's like, I don't want to be around like rambling and kind
shitting
myself and Joe Bidening through life at the end of it. Just please ice me.
Like, doesn't that guy just, it looks miserable. He's just like just feeble. I don't want to be like that. I think there's a certain point where, you know, there's an expiration and you can fight the hands of this expiration. You can fight this off by strength training, sleeping, doing all of the things that you need to do. I was thinking Philippe's going to live to be 400. You know, not only is he like the nicest kid, he doesn't drink. He's like on this training thing. Like, I was like, Philippe, if you can keep this for another like 75 years, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has jiu-jitsu community, which I think is so important. You know, one of the factors we see, especially as men age, is they become very like curmudgeon, kind of lone wolf, very prickly. Like we talk about neuroplasticity.
Crystallized.
They crystallize. One, they don't listen to new music. They still drive the same car. They still got the same haircut. They don't like, this is what I like. And it's funny. They either go in two directions. Either they get like really into hunting or really into barbecuing or something or lawn maintenance.
Tacticalories.
Yeah, tacticalories. But the idea of continually to learn new things and develop new skills and the neuroplasticity to kind of be that white belt. And then the final one is strength's a predictor of longevity. So research shows that grip strength, leg strength, and overall muscle mass are strong predictors of mortality risk. The stronger you are, the lower your risk of an early death. Mm. You know, we do that grip testing. I'll give a nod to Big Matt for being at 191, which is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
But that ability to be able to maintain grip strength, and that comes from picking up heavy things, being consistent. All of the research, and I did a talk at the Power Athlete Collective this year on hypertrophy. It's pretty fascinating. For a lot of years, we felt that there was a lot of drivers for hypertrophy. There wasn't just one. It turns out the mechanical tension, mechanical failure, and however you get there are really the driving factors. But one of the ones that has been universal that we've proved year after year in all of the Power Athlete training programs, if you're not getting stronger, you're not necessarily putting on muscle. It's very difficult to put on muscle without increasing strength. You can use, you know, blood flow restriction and some other things, but eventually, if your strength is plateaued, I guarantee your muscle's plateaued. So following an intelligent strength training program that has progression, that understands all of the different elements of like strength and hypertrophy and volume and speed and all these others like we do on the Power Athlete training programs, give a nod to myself, are just fundamentals. And as long as you're doing the things that you know you need to do and you're able to put on muscle and recover and be the best version of yourself, I feel like you're moving in the right direction. That's the best you can hope for.
So say you're world's strongest man and now you're on the back end of your career, or actually your career is over. What are some numbers that you want people to, or maybe some movements that you want people to be able to do well into their age, because they're not going to squat 800 pounds anymore?
Well, I think being able to squat is important. Mm-hmm. So some form of X-axis hinge, some bilateral hip hinge is important. Now, whether or not you're free squatting or squatting to a box and touching and going with some form of load, I think is fundamental. Something in the Y-axis. So being able to lunge and be on one leg, you know, something within a, like a single leg Bulgarian split squat where the knee goes over the toe and the knee's behind the glute to force hip extension. Then on a Z-axis, stepping up on something, being able to put my foot on and drive up. So I feel like that X and Y and Z-axis are fundamental for its movement. And then being able to mix X and Y and Z-axis together to be able to accomplish known or novel tasks. And whether that involves, you know, hitting a tennis ball, playing pickleball and jujitsu or whatever it is, even if it's going on shooting baskets, I think that piece of just being able to go out and use your training. I got stuck in this. I was, you know, like, you know, doing Power Athlete and podcasts and traveling and teaching and doing all this shit. And I would go lift weights and I felt that that was enough. And then I'd go out and like, you know, I had that interesting crystal, you know, anti-crystallization moment of realization when I went out to Craig Douglas's event, like we've talked about. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm a fairly decent shooter because I dry fire and I go to the range and I can, you know, manipulate a pistol. But all of a sudden now I'm in a situation where I get to like one-on-one fight a dude, and I'm a good fighter on my feet and the skills that I have were fine. But all of a sudden I'm on my back and I, you know, dude passes my guard. I'm fucking just getting absolutely just mauled. And there was a moment of shame. And I know in our society, shame is a bad thing. But for me, shame is a powerful motivator, because now I wasn't able to hold the standard that I had imagined myself to be. Oh yeah, no, I mean, if the fight went to the ground, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. And like, you can either be like, well, this is stupid. This was never going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
Or you make a conscious decision to make this reality. If this does happen, I have done what is required of me to do this.
Yeah.
And that's what, it's funny, yesterday, Big Matt was, you know, we were laughing. He's like, you know, I think I'm going to pull my son out of jujitsu and just put him into wrestling because I'm tired of him going to his back. I want him on the top attacking all the time. And I was like, well, yeah, are you teaching him for wrestling or the jujitsu's good? Because eventually, if there's a tussle and we end up, you might end up on the bottom. And he's like, well, yeah, in wrestling, if you end up bottom, you just fight to get back to the top. Yeah, but it's interesting to be able to be comfortable enough on your back to fight your way to the top.
Yeah, there's like three rules of grappling, right? The primary rules. And I didn't come up with these rules. But the first rule is, if you can be on top or bottom, choose to be on top. The second rule is, if you're on top, stay on top. And the third rule is, if you end up on bottom, have a really good plan to get back on top. And the third one really speaks to jiu-jitsu in the sense that you're most likely, if you start, you're going to end up on your back. And you have to have a really good plan to come up, but you have to make a conscious decision, like you said, to put yourself in a bad situation to be able to rise up from it. And this is my moment to profess to you that you need to work your deep half more.
Right? I don't necessarily want to turn this into a goal setting podcast,
of course,
because you know, we're talking about longevity and muscle, and especially muscle as a metabolic currency. But I have not done what I needed to do in 2024 in my jiu-jitsu journey.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming on, you know, obviously with Power Athlete and like, you know, some of the things that has happened with my family and my wife, and then like, you know, working with you guys, and then also taking on, you know, working to help Casey with Tactic Calories. So, and then picking up private clients and just some of the things that I've been doing. The thing that ended up falling by the wayside was my jiu-jitsu and not being committed enough to try to get there. And I felt that like 1 to 2 days a week was, you know, the minimum. If I could just get there for that 1 or 2 days, and then I'd miss a week and then come back. And then I had a stretch where I didn't go for like 3 weeks, and I went back and like, I didn't know what to do with my hands. Like it was literally like I had forgotten everything, and like my game and all the things that I had developed just kind of went away. And I realized that it is a muscle memory. It's a dose related thing. It's a time under tension. How many times? And then, you know, seeing John Walsh, who just got his brown belt, like John was, you know, a couple days a week in purple or at blue, and then he got into his purple. And I feel like as soon as you got your brown belt, he fucking turned it up where now he was coming all the time. And like, there wasn't a single time where I've been to Lake Travis. I mean, I've even been to open mats at HQ where all of a sudden he shows up. I'm like, what are you doing this far? And he's like, you know, the only way I'm going to get good at this is through exposure and continue to work. And there was an analogy that a Brazilian, I don't know his name, he made it, he might have been a Gracie. A
boiling pot of water.
Yeah. He talked about jiu-jitsu is like a warm pot of water. As long as your water is warm, it's easy to turn the heat up and get to a boil. But if you have to literally get your water warm from a cold every day, that's a huge problem. So being able to be more consistent, and I talked to Shanji about this, and Shanji's like, if you're stuck and like, you know, like you get done and things run over, you don't have time, call me, I'll come roll with you. And I know you've done that too. Same thing. I just have to be better at asking for help and then finding ways to slip it in.
But to, okay, I'm not going to make a comment on slipping, but at the same time, you did make a lot of time for strength training, and you did finish 2024 still jacked and tan. So at the same time, I think, on the last point we made is like improving lifespan, but also feeling good about yourself, right? So as long as you can make some time for yourself to work on your resistance training, I think you're going to live a better life.
Well, so. For me, the non-negotiables is lifting weights and conditioning. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fortunate in that I got a big building that's just like 100 feet away from my house.
Yeah.
So it's really easy for me to go up, and Shanji was like, well, do you want me to bring mats over? And I'm like, I kind of enjoy being able to go somewhere and leave.
The third place.
Yeah. There's another place to go. But for me, the non-negotiable is, is the diet piece. Like I know how I like to eat. I know what I want to do for the training, and I have great training partners that are constantly like, hey, when are we training? When are we training? And if it doesn't work, then you know what? I go train by myself. But there's always, I've never hit somebody up, whether it be you, Philippe, Matt, whatever, like, hey, you want to lift weights? I'm fucking there.
Yeah.
So like, it's never for not having an opportunity. Like the gym is always open for us. I think for me personally though, there is a sense of pride, especially seeing how good you guys are getting with your jiu-jitsu, and feel like I'm watching the bus go away and you guys are all waving at me. And I'm like, hold on, let me get back to this. And everybody's really good. I mean, you know, when I met you, you were a blue belt and now you're a brown belt. And so, and old man John got it. And
Don't let me be a black belt, so you have to call me professor.
Oh, I will never call you professor. I don't even call Shanji or Victor or any of these guys professor. And when people do call them professor, I give them a dirty look. And I'm like, what the fuck is this professor thing?
I can't stand it.
No, and even like with Shanji, and it's funny because in class, it was one time, like I forgot, we were like, I said Shanji, and we were like this. And then one of the guys said Shanji, and Shanji like gave the guy a dirty look.
Yeah.
And like, I think the guy was like a little this, and I think he wanted to know like how come. And then Shanji made some point about like, John coaches us, he helps us, you know, and like kind of like explain to him who I was in that deal.
Yeah.
And so it's good, but I iron sharpens iron, man. It's one man sharpens another. And I think, was that Proverbs 27:17? I want to mess that one up, but it's something we live every day. So, if you want to live a long life, be strong, lift weights, get jacked, take creatine, eat a high protein diet. And then as you start to feel like you're in better shape and you're stronger, I want you to find something that you can go out and accomplish. It might not be jiu-jitsu, it might be pickleball, it might be going out and playing tennis or just shooting hoops, or you know, just throwing the football with your kids. Find some way to use your athleticism and your strength and all the stuff that you put together in a meaningful way that looks like athletics expression. If you can do that, you're going to, you know, meet this power athlete blueprint for athleticism, and you're going to live a long, healthy life. And if you run into more troubles, shoot us a question at info@powerathletehq, and I will be glad to answer it. So Have a great 2024 and see you in 2025. Hey there, Power Athlete Nation. Big shout out to all the heavy hitters who stuck around till the final whistle. If you've been soaking in the knowledge bombs and epic tales you've been dropping for free, here's your chance to be a game changer. Swing by klfi.com/powerathlete and toss a few bucks our way to keep the podcast fueled and firing on all cylinders. That's ko-fi.com/powerathlete. Your support makes a difference. See ya.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.